Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Wednesday, not just any Wednesday. It's Relationship Wednesday. It's the 19th of September. We're just trucking along. It's like you can't even believe it, but it's so cool. We have fall to look forward to, I think, in a day. Is it one more day that we no longer have summer? It's the 20th of September. So here we go. It's almost over. Just enjoy the last day of summer. Today's show is a sticky, sticky show. It's so sticky that there is no right answer for why our ex is a sore spot for couples. But there are some common reasons that they are. And if we can touch on the reasons, then we'll know. But it all boils down to an old relationship versus a new relationship. So whenever one or the other speaks to the old relationship, for some reason, the new relationship always feels like, wow, but they already knew each other. They had a beginning, a middle, and an end. But for some reason, the part of the beginning and the middle is fine, but the end part isn't. One, deep inside of us, we know, hey, you know what? They still communicate, even though they ended, but it's good that they ended well. But sometimes that whole alluring thing of friends and them seeing each other maybe without you or going to have dinner or to talk about something they still have in common can be a big problem in a relationship. Even if they tell you, if the other person is not your friend also. You know, Christ, what is this whole thing? Why is it so weird? Well, a lot of it is the other person's a mystery to you. But the truth is the other person's probably a lot like you because people tend to be attracted to the same kind of people or same kind of person, usually for pretty close the same reason. Somebody's nice, somebody's helpful, somebody's pretty, whatever kind of pretty. Does she have long hair, short hair, or does he have, is he tall or short himself, or what kind of work does he do, or what kind of body type does he have or she have? And all these things come into play once the personality thing is set, where you feel like you can spend time with this person, someone or not. I know, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I love this person, and they don't know the person. And I would say, well, you love the idea of love, and you need somebody to put it into. But you've created an imaginary person with someone's name and face that you already know. But there's no way. There's no way. There's curiosity. There's infatuation. But some people are convinced, oh my gosh, without a shadow of a doubt, there's nothing anyone can tell them. And I always ask, do you know the person? How well do you know the person? Because that will tell me how well you know yourself. You may know things about yourself, but what do you really know about yourself? How do you feel? Why do you feel it? And can you depend on that to yourself? Because if you can, then you can depend on somebody else. But I've had to learn a lot of stuff about not only the makeup of a relationship and why we even have one, because nowadays it's something to ask. Is a relationship the best place for me now at this point in my life? For some people, it's yes, and other people, it's no. But for the people, it's yes. The whole ex thing especially as they're in the first couple of years of establishing who they are as a couple, they have an influx of an ex constantly showing up and calling, and I'm sick, and I'm this, and I'm that. They behave as though they've never broken up. And you have to hear them talk in a comfortableness that's uncomfortable to you. Because you're like, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? This isn't just business or just this or just two relationships going on. One with you and your partner and one with your partner and his old partner or her old partner. Which now becomes their old partner. But how are the stereotypes ruling us as well? Because we've been taught to fear. Everything we're taught has fear behind it. Be scared. This could. And we live in that bubble of all the it could happen. There's a lot of stuff that could happen. If I live in California, where I live, people say, oh, well, there's going to be the big one. When I first moved to California, I moved here in 1985. And I remember that, always talking about, oh, we're going to have the big one, oh, the San Andreas Fault, and it would lead in the news every time we'd actually have an earthquake. And then they'd talk about it for a while, and earthquake preparedness kits, and, you know, all these people would be selling them, and it would be a ton of, you know, whatever, $100 a bag, it's a whole backpack for each person and the family and all this stuff. But then it goes away. We never had the San Andreas Fault earthquake. We might have it in 10 minutes, but we haven't had it yet. But the fear. So my husband, boyfriend, girlfriend's ex is still in the picture. Then that person needs to know both of us. Because otherwise there isn't respect for the current relationship. Needs to know about both of you. All of that has to be established. It's the hardest thing to do is to tell an ex that you're somewhere new. They know you have to say, I have to ask my partner this before I can answer that. Or this is something that isn't good for my relationship if I were to do it. It takes a while for exes to actually be able to be friends. They actually have to break up and, in a way, separate for a while, kind of live their own lives. And if they're really friends, they'll come back as friends. But if it's just one day you're together and the next day you're not, and then 2 weeks later one of you meets another person and brings that baggage, it is baggage because it's going to bother the heck out of the other person. Unless they just aren't committed to you either. Father, I don't mean that it's going to hurt them or that you're purposely hurting them or whatever's going on. Some things need time to whittle down, but it's going to be in the way. It just gets in the way. So how do we deal with that without fear? Because the old relationship challenges the person that isn't or wasn't in that relationship. And how do you help a new relationship? By communicating not only to your current partner, to your past partner. And you both have to decide, you and the past partner, what do you guys want out of this? Because it's not only awkward for one, it'll be awkward for the other one when they meet someone. It only works when everybody knows each other. That was something I had this mental rule of, that if I ever dated somebody with children, I would want to have or lunch with his ex-wife. I wanted to know who she was. I wanted to respect who she was. I didn't want for the kids to say, well, Daddy has a new girlfriend. And then her to wonder who it is. And then whatever, because I don't know the status of what they left, how they left it, other than what I would have been told. And sure enough, I found myself in that situation. And I said, before I meet the kids, would it be great if I meet mom? I met the mom. I loved her. Even though I am still not in that relationship, I miss her. We still talk here and there. I don't have a problem with her ex-husband, who's now my ex. Good man. It's not the right person. And she even, believe it or not, told me that. At some point of us knowing each other, she mentioned it. And she told me, I tried, I really, really tried. But because we both knew her, she wasn't a problem for me, for herself, or for him, them, to communicate better for the children, because they were in a, this kind of weird, unspoken competition of who was the better parent. And I thought, well, nobody needs to be the better parent. Both need to be darn good ones. Nobody needs to be better. Your kids will figure everything out. You don't even need to tell them. They'll know. They'll run into the same stuff you ran into. Doesn't make anyone good or bad. It just makes it the way someone is. And when you find out that somebody isn't right for you, it's really hard when you do have children and to actually have to take the steps of disillusion and all of that, but you become an ex. And you're an ex that's not going to go away because there are children involved. So just taking away the stereotype of us not liking the other person automatically, fill in the blank on who the person is. Remind yourself that this is just a stereotype. I don't have to do it like this. I don't want to spend my time being hypersensitive to this person, feel maybe manipulative or whatever, and we start creating our own reality around it. And I found out later that the girlfriend before me hated his wife, hated her, was in competition with her, wanted to take her to court so she couldn't have the kids and all this stuff, stopped her ex-husband from seeing his son and all this mess that just went on for 5 years of hell. Just because control, doubt, worry. Because that is what we were taught, as though nobody's ever broken up before. It was how we were taught to break up that created the ex situation. But when we meet each other, we like each other. We're people, day and age, with pressure and stress and health issues and all this stuff and kids and trying to raise them in a world that doesn't know who it is yet. We got to figure out who we are so our world will know who it is. At least in our own microcosm before it grows into a bigger world. There is a lot to be said situation and how you deal with exes because it's one of the stickiest. So, I ask Christ and I say, all right, Christ, what's up? What is it where everything has its place, where communication is key, where we take those steps? I love what he said. You know how it says, do unto others as you would like having done to you or something like that. I didn't quote it exactly, but he said, don't do what you don't want done to you. in a relationship. Only do what would make you feel closer to your relationship, to the life you have chosen, to the life you have chosen. Faithfulness isn't just physical detachment. Faithfulness is how you look at how you deal with your life. Because some people are retaliatory. Like, you go out with your ex, okay, I'll go out with my ex. Well, why are you guys going out together? And I don't mean go out and go out on a date, but stay as friends and let's go have a in quote, friendship dinner. But it's hard to do because you were a couple. Unless the other partners are involved. Because some people try to convince their partners that that's okay, which is why I even did this show in the first place. It's not okay if it's not okay for both partners. It's only okay if both are okay. But if you can, just let your partner go out with whoever they've gone out with, and they don't know you and have never met you, then you're just asking for issues to come into play. And at least know that. Say, hey, you know what, I'm going. I know this is going to cause a problem for you. Please trust me. This is just something I feel like I have to do because of fill in the blank. And if the other person says, well, that's weird, you feel about this. And I'm not even accusing anybody of anything. This just doesn't feel right. Do you want me to go out? Do you want me to call my ex and go out with him or her? Because if you're okay with me doing that, then maybe you could kind of get a glimpse of what it feels like to hear that. This is where health is important to any relationship, is when we speak objectively to our emotions and give them a great representation to each other. Like, hey, you know what? I don't know if I can do that. I remember when I was dating the man whose wife I met, and I was just sitting at the table, and they were having an issue with their son, and they were writing to the principal. School was starting. This was a few years ago. Wow. School was starting, and they were emailing the principal and then telling each other what they emailed. Before I met her, before I even, you know, I just met him. And I'm listening to this and watching this take place. And I think I told you guys about this maybe 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, because it keeps coming up because school is starting and the ex thing, and then what I saw just happened to a couple, and I said, hey, you know what, you guys, don't play games with each other. Be straight up. Introduce each other to each other's exes if you're going to keep them in your life. If you're going to create a distance and kind of build your own life, do that, but make a decision together. But I'm sitting there, and it happens to be me. I don't have the jealousy thing in me. I just thank God. But it would be really ugly if I did, because then the husband would have just had a repeat with a different person. But I'm just sitting there at the table, and they're doing their whole email to the principal thing and telling each other, well, look, I did this. Well, I did that. I said, listen, on your email, your next email, just copy your ex-wife in it. Be a team. Just be a team. On behalf of both of them. And then he copied her on the email. It took less than 2 minutes. She had called. He put her on speaker because he was on his computer while he was talking. So I heard the conversation. He put her on speaker. And the first thing she did was thank him for copying her, did for her. Well, probably would have made him feel good too, but he didn't want to be the first to do it. But bigger than that was we weren't taught to be nice to people that aren't in our lives anymore. But I have to tell you, it says a lot about us and how we deal with adversity, how we deal with our own confidence in life, of ourselves, the people we are with. If there's ever a litmus test, it's when exes are concerned. I know I have a large audience of men. Large audience of men. I can't believe what a big audience of men that I have. And as long as they're not interested in me romantically, I can help them. But when they are, I stop. Or they start getting too personal because I can't deliver. I can only be in one place at one time as a human being. And because I know that, I don't encourage anything or anyone to go past a certain line because I have to have a certain level of boundary and limit to, you know, how much can you give? And the way I love, loving everyone that way, but I didn't understand people weren't loved that way. So what I was getting back was crazy. And yet, there were men who I was helping who immediately told me about their wives, who immediately told me that whatever I tell them, they're going to share, who immediately told me that they work together on this issue that he is having because they're a man. And those men were really looking for an answer, not a mother. They were looking for an answer. And they got it. If anyone ever felt threatened by me, I always wanted to meet the wife, whether it was by phone or Skype when I did appointments, email. There were even couples who had joint emails for things they did together. It was an email for both of them that they both would check into so their calendars would be the same, they would be the same. That exists in our world for people who want to stay together in the healthiest way that they can find. I had to learn how to speak to public people I didn't know with all my love at the end of it, or love, Nadia. But that's how I feel. But it wasn't appropriate. And I had to learn that because even though I wouldn't have been an ex for that person, I looked like a threat. But I didn't know I was a threat until people told me. I never even thought of myself as a public person the way they were looking at me because I was so monetarily poor. Still, I'm nobody. I'm helping all these people and I don't have a home. I don't have at times a car. I don't have anything because I invested every single penny, literally, and some, into this work for me to be able to do it because I couldn't help it. No matter what I lost to do this, what I gained from this was far outweighing that. But in my brain, I became a threat to people, and I didn't even know that I was a threat to their relationship. I just thought, wow, it's so cool. I'm able to help men because men are a forgotten subset in our world. And if they do anything wrong, we get on them. And we don't give them emotional leeway. So they tend to hide and not talk about anything, especially the higher up they go. And it's hard. It's hard for them because they don't even feel entitled to emotions because everyone only cares about what they produce. And the higher up they go, the worse it is. But they're still people, and they're not any different than anybody. They might be, you know, more driven or you know, have a specialty, but they're people. We're all people. Creating those feelings in their partners. I remember, and they're both passed away now. I can't believe it. It's been about 13 years, but I met this man at the gym, and he asked his trainer to introduce us because he couldn't figure out who I was, but he, in quotes, thought I was someone, whatever that meant, but that's how he said it. And he asked me who I was, and I told him, and I heard you wrote a book, and I said, yeah, and he said, yes, and I heard that it's about Christ, and I said, it is. It's actually Christ. I said, well, what did you see? And I told him, you know, his eyes were closed, his mouth was closed. I just basically saw, like, a face, but everything was closed, but I heard him, and when I saw him, I knew everything, and I'm telling him this, and he's listening, and you know, totally like, oh my gosh, she isn't kidding. And he said, I believe you. And I said, good, this is the only story I've got. And he went home, and he told his wife that he fell in love with me. But he just fell in love with my knowledge. Immediately felt very jealous, because he'd never gone home and said that. So about 2 weeks after that, I was speaking. I had a speaking engagement, and they came. And she said to me, when my husband came home and told me he fell in love with you, I had to come and see who you were. And I found out that I fell in love with you too. What they fell in love with was just love. Had that all been in writing, it would have been a threat. But in real life, knowing that I'm not chasing anybody, but I had to understand that love is love is love. It's just the relationships are different, and I need to know that. And they taught me that. I always want to meet the other halves of everybody because I'm not chasing anybody. I don't want to be put in that X category, but I've seen that come at me. But we don't have to be that way. We are bigger than that. So don't do anything that you wouldn't want done to you in a relationship and of having a respectful and solid relationship when it comes to this topic. You guys, tomorrow? Dream Theme Thursday. I will see you then. Have a great Wednesday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.